Hi, Gülden Atilla. How are you doing? Welcome to 2021 and
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope 2021 will be over soon. I'm really
Yeah.
shooting for 2025.
Well, hopefully 2021 will be better than last year's disaster. It was a disaster for all of us, right? Not just in Turkey, but in Europe and the rest of the world. Trump is leaving us this month.
That's good news, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Turkey was concerned, it was a real roller coaster year in 2020. We had the inflation going way up. We had the government trying to stall growth, and Erdogan replacing economy officials, central bank governor, etc., trying to get things under control. And we come into 2021, and today we have some news from the State Institute of Statistics, and which is kind of maybe going to set the tone for things going forward, at least in the short term. Who wants to start? So, Güldem, I mean, what do you think about today's data?
Women first.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
exactly.
Thank you. Well, we've seen the official figure up the CPI inflation for Turkey at 14.6%, and we have the ENA group, a group of scholars that is calculating the Turkey's inflation, monthly inflation, on collecting data on daily basis, and they say the monthly inflation was at 4.08%, and 2020 inflation in Turkey was at 36.72%. So
Yeah.
this is what Turkish citizens are really feeling when they go shopping to malls and everywhere in Turkey. So it's, I think, more close to what's the real inflation rate right now in Turkey is about. So
I
when we
mean,
look.
as let me just interrupt for a second. I mean, as economists, as well as normal citizens, what is your feeling about Turkish inflation over the last year? Because people really want to know this. I mean, foreign investors want to know, because they're looking to the Turks. There's been dollarization going on. They're looking to Turkish people to come around to the idea that central bank is increasing interest rates, etc. I mean, what is your feeling, both of you?
Well, for my take, for definitely not 14.6%, and the official food price inflation is, in fact, is around 20% already. So that all we can buy and we can purchase is food, given the curfew
Yeah.
measures as well. So it's not definitely around; it's higher than 20%. That's my feeling, at least.
Atilla, what do you think?
Yeah, I can only talk about food and energy prices because the other stuff I didn't consume, and I have no idea whether the measurements are correct or not. But food inflation is a nightmare, there is no doubt about it. So is energy. But let's listen to Metropol, which conducted a survey in December asking people what they think inflation is. And the results are here. If you just allow me, I'll open my screen so I don't lie to people. Okay, according to Metropol, you will have to bear with me for a second. I'm
Sure,
sorry, this computer is slow. Yeah, it's coming up. But it's definitely much higher than, people's perception of inflation is much higher than,
I guess
yeah,
that's what's
here it is,
important
here
to
it
us,
is.
right?
Yeah, I think, oh, here we go. Okay. 51.3% of the respondents said for them, the consumer inflation is over 30%. Another 16.5% said it's between 20 and 30%. So that, I think, is the most accurate answer to the question of what inflation is. And it matters greatly for two things. A, Turkish inflation, there is no way people are going to trust official figures and act accordingly until Turkstat is completely rehabilitated or purged of the staff and shares its data so that other scientists can replicate it. B, if that's the perception of roughly 65-70% of people, they must be acting in an environment where for them the ex ante real interest rate is deeply negative. And that doesn't only mean dollarization. It also means buying speculatively into real assets. Anything from cigarettes and alcohol, the prices of which didn't rise this year, to stock exchange, to cars and to houses. It is an immense dislocation of economic resources, and it needs to be really cured as soon as possible.
So the rate hikes won't be enough? Gudem?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're a foreign investor living in a world where there's no inflation and there's no positive interest rates and you're looking for a yield, Turkey might be an attractive point to come in and go out these times. But if you're a citizen living in Turkey and if you're trying to switch your FX holdings to Turkish lira, I think 17% is not enough. It's not even enough to switch to Turkish lira and start spending again. So I think for the sake of foreign investors, it's good enough that they can come here. And we've seen that coming in, the flows coming in during December. But for the locals, I don't think it's good enough.
So there's a kind of a battle going on right now. I mean, foreigners are coming back in a limited amount, right?
And I think so, yes.
The lira's appreciated from, 8.58 low in early November to 7.35 now. I mean, the dynamics, what do you think about the dynamics? How strong are the dynamics from both sides? And it's almost like not a battle. I mean, that's the wrong word, but opposing forces happening. So who's going to win out and what is going to decide that?
Well, I think that locals having piled up some 280 billion FX deposits currently, I think they will win eventually because further rate hikes are needed for them to switch back to Turkish lira, and portfolio flows coming a couple of billion dollars will not be even enough to fund Turkey's current account deficit, which is going to be higher than $30 billion this year. So eventually this Turkish lira appreciation will stop. And depending on the central bank's actions and the actions of the governments, what they're still giving in the headlines, we're seeing calls about reforms and everything. If they don't proceed with those, I don't know the details of the reforms because, I mean, they've just mentioned in the headlines, there are no details. They're talking about legal reforms, economic reforms, but we know what needs to be done and why those cannot be done. So I think eventually the locals will win. If the central bank doesn't hike the rates towards some 25% levels, which will kill growth in Turkey, which Erdogan wouldn't really like again, I think the TL depreciation will start sometime down the year again.
Attila?
Yeah, let me complete this by giving a time frame. As far as I'm concerned, Turkish depositors are passive buyers. They buy at the given exchange rate. So they are, unless there's a sudden shift in their behavior, they don't make much of a difference in the currency over the short run. Over the short run, it's the outside flows that makes difference. As far as I'm concerned, unless Mr. Erdogan invents a new trick, January and February are fine as far as dollar-Turkish lira pair goes, in the sense that there is such a momentum and just such a consensus about emerging markets doing well this year, that Turkey will get its share. It won't be, too much, but even a couple of billion dollars a month will be fine. In March, the situation gets tricky. That's when I think Mr. Biden will clean house and start dealing with the Middle East. That's Russia and Turkey. And the S-400 come KAATSA sanctions will come to the agenda again. I also understand that EU is waiting for Mr. Biden's guidance or leadership to put more pressure on Turkey. So in March, Mr. Erdogan will face one of the hardest decisions of his political career. Is he going to defy the West and face the risk of excruciating economic sanctions, or is he going to find a compromise? I think in March, we're going to see extreme currency turbulence. And even though I don't have too much evidence that Mr. Erdogan is going to compromise, judging from his behavior, I think he will turn his back to Russia and shake hands with the United States and EU. And I completely expect IMF to pay a visit to Ankara this year to sign a stand-up. Either that, or we're going to have a balance of payments crisis.
Jesus. That's quite pessimistic. I mean, what do you think, Güldem? You think there's a chance for Turkey having to go to the IMF?
Well, there is. I mean, they are resisting. They have been resisting, like, because of transparency issues, basically. Because when the IMF is in town with a standby agreement, they need to do things in a very transparent way, in a very rational economic way, the state management and everything. So when you look at, it's not only inflation, it's not only the current account deficit. We have a hidden secret bad loan problems that lies within the banking sector. And when you look at the S&P figures, it's combined with the Tier 2 loans, the problematic loans, it's up to 20% instead of the official 4% level. And that means there is no more room for the banks to support the economy. There is no more room for them to really, for the real sector to complete their 160 billion debt payments down in a 12 months time. So the fiscal deficit is the whole government deficit is around close to 6% this year. The inflation, the real inflation, is at best around 25% level, with still negative real rates being offered to the locals in Turkey. And it's a very rough year for Turkey, and it's not really working this way.
Yeah, I mean short term. I mean, the central bank, what is it thinking right now, do you think?
For me, well, I think they what the market has written, or what they have interpreted as the from the recent rate cut, is that they are done with rate hikes. But I don't think so. They will need to increase the rates further in the first quarter of the year. They need to start de-dollarization to add to their currency reserves, which is currently standing around, as everyone knows, correcting for the swaps. It's close to negative $50 billion. So a couple of billion dollars in forms of portfolio flows is not really good enough for Turkey to accumulate the lost reserves of the central bank. So de-dollarization is required, in my opinion.
Yeah. So Atilla, what kind of rate hike do you think is needed, if any, this month?
The kind of rate hike that's needed to reverse dollarization will also poison the patient, because it would be an overdose. There is really not much Mr. Naci Akbal, the new governor of Central Bank of Turkey, can do, except to tell Mr. Erdogan the truth, that at the bottom of the problem is trust and confidence. I can cite several polls which shows on issues of health, such as the COVID-19 cases, on economic management, et cetera, people have lost faith in this government and its policies. And on top of that, a clash with the West, as we had in August 2018, will be lethal. So the best he can do instead of rate hikes is get Mr. Lütfi Elvan with him, go to the court and tell Mr. Erdogan, look, this is the reality we are facing. We need substantive and irrevocable reform and a commitment to pro-Western, pro-market, and transparent policies. And then hope that Mr. Erdogan understands the problem and then delivers on it. Even then, as Güldem said, inflation and, of course, very low growth are flow problems. The stock problem is twofold. The first she mentioned, 20% of loans being quote-unquote distressed is roughly $60 billion. The second thing is for Turkey to grow or for budget deficits to be financed without forcing interest rates to sky, Turkey must be able to borrow from abroad. But it can't because Turkey's credit rating is 4 or 5 notches below the investable grade. So Turkey can borrow enough to sustain trade flows. But remembering that we need long-term foreign loans or bond issues or FDI for growth, that money is not going to come. Nobody's going to bring technology or capital to be invested into a Turkish factory when you have Mr. Erdogan making all the decisions. These things need to be changed. And whether he has the temerity or the foresight to do those things, I really don't know. I hope he does either way. Otherwise, you know, there's going to be early elections because it isn't, I'm going to cut this short. We must remember that the Turks or people of Turkey, including Kurds, etc., have not had such hardship even in 2001 economic crisis. So there's a whole generation which has never tasted economic distress, prolonged poverty, and falling disposable incomes. And these people are about to abandon the AKP tent. All the polls show it to us. Roughly 22% of voters are quote-unquote undecided, but they're like Trump's shy voters. Secondary research shows 2/3 of these voters actually will not vote for AKP and MHP. So this is not only an economic problem. Either Mr. Erdogan changes his behavior and, you know, switches to a more institutionalized, shared decision-making, or there is going to be a political earthquake, and this administration will not be able to withstand it.
Or he locks up Mr. Imamoglu and Mr. Yavaş.
That's another thing that foreign experts about Turkey and even some of the white Turks say, that instead of facing an election that he might lose, Erdogan is going to resort to more authoritarian measures. Perhaps send the police and the army to the streets, arrest the opposition, etc. But Turkey is not that kind of a country. You really can't do that. Nobody is going to stand behind and sacrifice his or her career for a leader who no longer commands the approval of the people. The problem is within AKP. Now, that needs to be understood. I'm not an AKP voter. Just by coincidence, I happen to be lucky enough so that I can earn my daily, you know, wage by working at home. But the bulk of AKP voters are low and middle-income class people or come from agricultural areas. And all of these three groups have been disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 crisis and by erroneous policies. So even if he stops the opposition and silences them, what is he going to do about his own party?
I mean, people are being turned away from the hospitals in Istanbul, I hear. I mean, Başakşehir. I mean, I have a friend, his father was taken very ill, and he's been turned away by Başakşehir twice with a bit of oxygen, and off he goes. And there are other reports that COVID-19 is rife in Istanbul right now. I mean, I don't know what you guys are feeling where you are, but I like you.
Well,
like you say, the middle and low income people are the ones that are worst affected.
I have first-hand accounts from 5 relatives and colleagues that they reported to a hospital with COVID-like symptoms. And the doctor just, you know, checked the heart, the lungs with the arthroscope or whatever it's called, and then refused to conduct a COVID-19 test.
Right.
This is the reality of Turkey. If you don't test, you don't find out. And even you know, the health minister claims that cases are down. They are down. But if you divide the cases by the number of tests conducted, the prevalence of virus in the population has only declined from roughly 10% to 7.5%. 7.5% of Turkey, 8 times 8, is roughly 6.4 million people, 90% of which are currently circulating among us. You do the math.
Yeah. I heard that one hospital, they were doing COVID-19 tests in a corridor, and then all the people, the patients in the hospital were just walking past them, and it was just jam-packed. So you had people who suspected they had COVID-19 mixing with people who were visiting other people who had COVID-19.
Yeah.
And that's maybe just one example.
I think evidence from Europe shows us that when you have such a virus load in a country and such lax controls in terms of tracing and quarantine enforcement, the only solution until, you know, vaccination is completed is a complete lockdown that will last 4 to 6 weeks. Otherwise, you lose the summer. There is another problem. I have two polls, one by Istanbul Economic Research, the other by Metropol, which reveals that 30 to 48% of the people will refuse vaccination. So Mr. Erdogan really has no choice. The health minister has to tell him. And a 4 week or 6 week complete lockdown would wipe out first quarter GDP, probably a 10% loss. And then really, you know, no matter how you cut, how you slice the cake, you know, IMF jumps from the middle of it. I am sorry, I'm mixing several idioms here, but tell me what else we can do.
Exactly. I mean, can they, Gudev, do you think that they can implement what Attila is suggesting that they would need to do is an IMF reform program without the IMF? Can they take those steps on transparency and institutional matters that are critical without being overseen by the International Monetary Fund?
Well, having this credibility problem, a huge gap with the foreign investors and with the locals as well, I think that opportunity is passed already, because during this introduction of the new economic programs, what the newspapers close to the government were hinting that it was like an IMF program without the IMF in Turkey. And they tried that form, but it's the discipline, the transparency that was supposedly be brought to Turkey by an IMF program was lacking on the new economic programs that was introduced by the former Minister Albayrak. And now it's having lived through this 2020 episode in Turkey with all this volatility on the economy management, the mistakes that were done on daily basis with the rate cuts, with the selling of the hard currency central bank reserves through the state banks in an undisclosed manner, the all the swap operations, all the mistakes that were done, I think no one will believe the government's ability to pass through a couple of year long very strict program like the IMF can do in Turkey. So it's not really good to say that the IMF is needed, but that's the real fact right now. The discipline will not be brought by or the current administration, the current system even, we can say the presidential system, which is a one-man system or a one-man way of management in Turkey, doesn't have the support of the institutions, or he cannot give room for the institutions to act their own way, so that an IMF-like program without IMF can be delivered, can be carried out for at least 2 or 3 years that Turkey needs. So I don't think it's doable.
But surely Mr. Erdogan just won't accept an IMF program. He won't do it. Attila, I mean, do you really think that he can make that step even in an emergency situation?
Well, first of all, to hear that IMF is needed from an avowed communist like is a paradigm shift. I'm a capitalist too, so I am not a great fan of Mr. Erdogan. But, you know, I look at behavior rather than intent, and I see the man doing very quick U-turns when needed. So even though that's what I meant at the beginning of this small forum, even though I see no evidence, I believe, based on past experience, that if he understands there is no way out of this economic quagmire without the IMF, he would have no compulsions to accept it. Put it this way, this is called the time inconsistency problem in economics. Governments can promise anything until things improve, and then they just renege on promises. What IMF does is to put the seal of irrevocability on those promises. It is quite possible to imagine that Turkey can, within 2.5 years, implement an IMF program without the IMF. The problem is Turkish people don't have that much patience. They have at most 3 months. 3 more months of not receiving paychecks or keeping these millions of restaurants and small enterprises closed, as I said, means a political earthquake.
Yeah, I can fully understand that. I mean, looking forward now, I mean, getting back to what we were talking about at the beginning, about the lira and the confidence. Clearly, there is a confidence problem, particularly among the Turkish population towards the government, and institutional issues, etc. On top of that, I mean, what is your advice to both Gülen? What's your advice to both local and foreign investors right now? I mean, local investors. I mean, just ordinary people who are looking at where to put their savings, and the foreign investors where, you know, looking to put more money into Turkey.
Well, for the foreign investors, I think what they're doing is perfectly makes sense right now. They're entering to get benefits, to profit from the high yields right now in Turkey, and especially when the dollar index is like weakening across the globe, that really makes sense for them. But they're not entering to take longer positions in the country. And as for the locals, what they're doing is they're trying to protect themselves towards a system that doesn't really have any medium to longer term vision, rather than just keeping their position as the government in Turkey, combined with or together with MHP and AKP, and this presidential system probably is the main reason that the Turkish economy is not really going to get better in the short to medium term right now. So what Attila is talking about as a political earthquake, it either can come in the form of forced early elections for some reason, or a very planned and irrational way of a switch back to this parliamentary system in Turkey, which is very hard to see right now, because as we Turks, we don't really do collaboration or work together to make such profound changes in the country. So it's going to be the locals pressuring the government for further proper management of the economy, and the foreigners pressuring the government beyond portfolio flows, that they keep up with the judicial reforms or justice reforms in Turkey, starting with, again, the headlines, Mr. Kavala and Mr. Demirtas, their release from prisoners might be a good start to turn things around. But I think it's in the near cards right now for Turkey.
Attila, I think we're running a bit low on time, but
briefly. Yeah. I think for, you know, foreign investors, obviously, you know, they are fairly sanguine about Turkish politics. I think January, February, until we hear from Biden in March, Turkey is safe and there is good carry trade opportunities. That's interest rate arbitrage opportunities. And Istanbul Stock Exchange is both cheap and under-owned. For locals, I don't say anything. I mean, they are doing what they need to do, which is really dividing their wealth between real assets, that's, you know, houses, hard currencies, and Turkish lira. And I think they'll keep doing that. I have one piece of advice to the government. If they want to reverse dollarization without accepting the 30-35% inflation rate, they could allow inflation index deposits so that if monthly inflation is 2%, for instance, the bank would pay me 2.5% and then loans will be adjusted similarly. Short of that, I don't think domestic investors are going to return to TL assets anytime soon. But let me just emphasize that one more time. The locals are price takers. So unless there is this sudden and huge eruption of dollar demand, they don't change the exchange rate. It's the foreigners and foreign flows, in particular money that comes through the swap channel, that affects the exchange rate. So as far as I'm concerned, even though locals keep buying, the lira could, the dollar lira pair could decline all the way to 7, at which point, in my view, the central bank would intervene on the side of buying effects to bolster its reserves. But at the end, Güldem is right. I mean, this is a short-term strategy only. As of March, the politics will enter the equation again, and then it's really up to Erdogan.
Well, like you say, let's hope this year that Mr. Erdogan has a very good strategy. All right, well, thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you once again, and a very happy 2021.
Yep. It's been great. Yeah. And our best wishes to Ahval. You're doing a good job. Yeah. I personally enjoy your coverage.
Thanks, Attila. Take care, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Cheers.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.